Hello and welcome to Chapter 7 of Managing Project Vendors. In the previous few chapters, we've discussed about the different activities when it comes to the vendor management office, sourcing, procurement, and the entire vendor management, the management of the relationship, contract management, what not to do in terms to secure the company's interests when a contract is drafted. We'll today talk about connecting and collaborating over the service providers and the vendors once the contract has been signed. And that's why it's called managing vendor engagements. Managing vendor engagements becomes important because you need to ensure that the agreements, terms that have been set are met, and the deliverables of the agreement are as per the standards agreed. Be it industry regulations or be it the service level parameters that you may have. So how do you manage these vendor engagements? What are the different activities involved in managing vendor engagements? First of all, with increasing complexity, flexibility and agility, what do we mean by that? Today, the scenario is very different. You have so many service providers, vendors. If you talk about IT vendors, if you have to get a software developed, you would find a huge list of vendors, not only from your city, country, but even across the border. So the environment is very complex, and since the competition is huge, the service providers are flexible enough and they're agile in terms of meeting the contract guidelines. They offer you low turnaround times, and that makes the entire sourcing process very critical. Because you have multiple choices, multiple options, and we have to assess the capability and the stability of a vendor during the sourcing process while we identify vendors, while we select vendors. So who would be the right fit for the outsourcing requirements of our organization? So with increasing complexity, flexibility, and agility of the service market, all sourcing management initiatives are becoming key for the delivery of business value. Because if we make a mistake here, if we make a mistake in terms of selecting a vendor which is not the ideal fit, or selecting a vendor who does not have the required previous experience, or a vendor who does not have the skills and the resources that are required for the project, even in terms of financial stability, if we select a vendor when the vendor organization is not financially stable, successful delivery of the contract will always remain a question mark. And hence, sourcing becomes a very key component before we finalize the contract with the vendor and move ahead with the delivery. So the collaboration process starts right with vendor selection. Right when we accept a request for information and proposals from vendors, or when we conduct due diligence, or when the initial meetings are done, negotiations happen. So the collaboration process starts right with the vendor screening and the selection process. And hence, one of the criteria for selection of a vendor should be the culture compatibility. The culture compatibility of the vendor organization with your organization. Now, why is this important? Because mostly, a lot of times, vendor employees would be interacting with your end customers. And the quality of the output would depend upon the organizational focus that the vendor has. For example, I was in one of the vendor selection exercises for one of our clients a couple of months ago. And there, one of the CFOs asked a very important question. We were screening a particular vendor, and someone shared an opinion that this particular organization is more focused on their top line growth. So the CFO asked, how does that make a difference to our interests? Well, it does make a difference to our interests, because in case if the vendor is more focused on the top line growth of their organization, they would lose the focus when it comes to customer satisfaction or profitability. They would be only focused on increasing their top line revenue. So a lot of other quality parameters get neglected. It's not that they would not work on improving quality or customer satisfaction or timeliness of delivery. But when the primary focus of a vendor organization is the top line growth, they would be more focused on getting more contracts, on getting more billable resources. They are not focused on the quality parameters, on the operating margins, on the customer satisfaction. So if the culture compatibility of the vendor organization does not match the values, the mission and the vision of your organization, that vendor or that service provider would not be the ideal fit for the outsourcing requirements. Hence, the entire process of connecting and collaborating with the vendors starts right from the moment we start screening candidates, we start screening companies for our IT or non-IT outsourcing requirements. Collaboration improvement begins during the deal development phase. This is when we start regularly interacting with representatives from the vendor organization, and it extends throughout the engagement management phase. There should never be a phase where there is a lack of communication between the client organization and the vendor organization. There should be never be a phase where there is a lack of communication between representatives or project employees of the client organization and the representatives of the service provider. If there is lack of communication, the information flow will stop. Nobody would be updated on what's happening. Or worse, nobody would be updated about what has gone wrong or what could go wrong. And we discussed risk assessment in the previous two chapters. So until and unless the right information is being shared and communicated to everybody, risk assessment and risk control becomes difficult, and so does managing the quality of delivery. So the responsibility of the vendor management office is nothing but the management of the entire vendor engagement. So the vendor engagement, when it comes to the management of vendor engagement, it comprises of a lot of activities. For example, first, managing the contract. So while we screened different service providers, we selected one or a few vendors, and a contract was negotiated. The contract would have legal terms, would have financial terms, would have the key performance indicators. So all this was discussed. But now, once the delivery phase has started, it becomes important on how do we manage the contract? How do we monitor whether what's been written down on the piece of paper is actually being implemented? Then you've got to manage the relationship with the vendor. The organization, the client organization, needs to have trust in the vendor's capabilities, needs to have trust that the vendor will deliver what's promised, and the vendor organization, the representatives of the vendor organization, need to have trust in the client's representatives that they would get the required support that has been promised when the work or the contract was awarded to them. So you need to manage the contract, you need to manage the relationship. You also need to manage the performance throughout the duration of the contract. Because once the work has been awarded, it's not that the responsibility of the quality and the performance only rests with the vendor organization. No, it's equally the responsibility of the client organization and responsibility of the vendor management office. So let's look at the aspects of vendor engagement. Governance of service, the quality of service, the timeliness of service, service being compliant to the terms in the contract, service being compliant to industry regulations and standards, the service being compliant to government policies, environmental regulations. So tracking the vendor delivery ensures that the service is being delivered as agreed in the agreement. We would have listed and agreed on the key performance indicators. What will get measured? Each key performance indicator, each KPI, would have a performance specification. So is the vendor meeting those specifications? What is the variation in performance? What does the performance trend suggest? And in case if performance is not being met, or it may be at a borderline status, what needs to be done to ensure that in the future weeks, days, or months, the vendor starts meeting the targets as agreed in the contract. To the required level of performance and quality. The required level of performance and quality. But this would not happen until and unless we have regular reviews of the vendor performance. So you may have regular reviews set at a certain frequency. Again, this would be case to case specific depending upon the project requirement. Or you may want to have weekly reviews. You may want to have fortnightly meetings with the vendor organization where everybody from the client organization, the senior executives and the project managers, the performance managers in the vendor management office meet with representatives of the vendor and discuss the performance. There may be daily dashboards or daily performance templates being shared with everybody. You may also want to conduct some surprise audits at times to see if the quality is being met and if the processes are being followed. So you would have standard operating procedures. You would have process flows that would have been agreed to. So until and unless the vendor representatives follow the standard operating procedures and the process flows, they would not be able to deliver the required level of performance and quality. Hence, the governance of service becomes important as one of the key requirements of the vendor management office, because this was the reason why the activity or the project or the task was outsourced to a third-party organization. So while it was done as a business decision to hire experts, reduce the operating costs, but compromising on quality was never the intentions. Hence, the service delivered by the vendor or the service provider needs to be governed by the vendor management office. Then we have the governance of relationship. This is very important because until and unless the relationship is being managed between the vendor and the client, the other aspects would not be met. So if the vendor loses the trust and confidence in the client organization because of mismanagement, or if the client representatives lose the trust and confidence in the ability and the stability of the vendor organization, the quality of service will not be met. The contractual terms will not be met. So we discussed in the vendor management office architecture in one of the previous chapters that we would have relationship managers at both ends. At both ends means we would have relationship managers who would be interacting with the end customers, and we would have a set of relationship managers, one or more than one depending upon the number of vendors we have. But we would have relationship managers who would be interacting with the vendor organization, with the representatives of the vendor. So their job would be to manage the relationship between the client organization and the vendors such that the delivery happens as agreed. So vendor relationship management keeps the relationship between the two parties, the client and the service provider, open and constructive. So an open relationship where everybody is able to voice their concerns, where everybody is able to share if there is something going wrong, and constructive. So where it's a constructive environment to share and report issues, to track and monitor performance, to review service level guidelines, aiming to resolve or ease tensions and identify problems early. So we discussed the need of dispute and conflict resolution when we were discussing about how do we select and identify vendors. So dispute resolution or conflict management is another key aspect when we talk about managing vendor relationships. So if there is any dispute between the vendor organization and the client representatives, and if that is not resolved, we would know that the service quality would deteriorate as the time progresses. So that needs to be identified and that needs to be addressed at the right platform, depending upon the level of the dispute and the conflict, and identifying problems early. So what could go wrong, what has gone wrong, or what could be a possible threat to the entire project? What could be a risk to the entire project? So how do we identify those? This would not be possible identifying of threats and risk elements, or dispute resolution, conflict resolution, or discussing the performance in an open and constructive environment or platform would not be possible if the relationship between the vendor and the client is not managed successfully and effectively. Let's look at some other aspects of the entire vendor engagement. So we would have governance of contracts. So as discussed, governance of contracts is about monitoring and managing that what's being set in the agreement, all those terms and clauses and KPIs, is that being adhered to by the vendor during the delivery process. So contract administration handles the formal governance of the contract and changes to the contract documentation. So we had legal experts as part of the vendor management office. We had financial experts as part of the vendor management office who help us draft the terms and clauses of the agreement. Now, once that's been agreed to and the contract has been signed off, we need to constantly monitor if those terms and clauses mentioned in the contract are being followed by the vendor. This becomes a governance of contracts. So regularly, the vendor management office needs to look at the contractual terms, the agreement terms. You may want to have an audit sheet prepared which lists down the different deliverables as per the contract, and frequent audits could be done. So business audits can be done for the vendor. Process audits can be done for the vendor if the contractual terms and clauses are being met. And you may want to club certain industry regulations or other standards that your industry needs to follow with the contractual audit. This would especially apply for projects with a longer duration, projects that go on for months or years. So there you would need to have frequent contractual audits to ensure that it's being met and delivered, to avoid any future risks to the entire engagement with the vendor. Then you have the governance of interactions. Governance of interactions is something which would help you manage the other aspects, be it the governance of service, the governance of contracts, or the governance of relationship. It's the interactions between the vendor representatives and the client representatives that lets us manage all the other important aspects. It's how we communicate with the vendor representatives, how they communicate with us, how is information shared, how is it reviewed, the frequency of meetings, the templates or dashboards used for email communication. So do we have access to key people in the vendor organization? Do the vendor representatives have access to key people in the client organization? One of the previous chapters, we discussed about having an escalation matrix at both ends, vendor organization as well as the client organization. So do they have access to the key contacts in case of a dispute, in case of a conflict, or if a feedback has to be shared, is there a proper flow? Do we have a formal documented change management process? So that's what governance of interaction means. So ground rules in vendor engagement are the guidelines for the organizations to follow for efficient vendor interactions. But these need to be set and agreed to, especially the frequency of review sessions, the medium of review sessions. So would you have once in a year face-to-face meetings in case the vendor and the client are in different countries? Or would you have monthly video conferences? Or would you have fortnightly telephonic conferences? What email dashboards would be sent out every day or maybe every week? So all these need to be agreed to. Everybody needs to be aware of how the interaction and the information flow would work. So this is what will help us in managing the contract terms, the adherence to the contract terms. This is what will help us continuously monitor the performance of the vendor and the relationship with the entire vendor organization. This is the graphical representation of what we've discussed in the past few minutes. We had different aspects of governance when it comes to managing engagements with the service provider or the vendor. So we had the governance of service, which is more about performance, quality, meeting the key performance indicators, how they interact with the end customers. Governance of relationship. So what's the relationship between the vendor representatives or the client representatives? Are they able to voice concerns, opinions, feedback, suggestions in an open and constructive environment? The governance of contract. Are contractual terms, clauses being met and adhered to by the vendor organization? And to manage all these three critical aspects of vendor engagement, we need to have a solid interaction platform where they are able to share information regularly, frequently, as required by the project. This would again be a project specific. For some projects, you may require daily reporting. For some, you may be satisfied or it's okay to have weekly sharing of information. So governance of interactions on how we interact with representatives of the vendor is what lets us govern the other critical aspects when it comes to controlling, monitoring, and engaging with the vendor organization. So let's look at how do we ensure the governance of service. So tracking vendor delivery. So when it comes to governance of service, we need to monitor, review, and track the delivery standards of the service provider. It may be in terms of the quality of product or a certain specifications of a product. For example, if it's a software being developed, the functionality of the software, the aesthetics of the software, user assessment tests, identification of bugs and errors, or the turnaround time of developing the software. So all these key indexes and service level parameters would have been agreed to when the contract was awarded. So how do we track the vendor delivery, the performance of delivery? This essentially means being able to check two things. One, the service does what it was required to do. So when we gave the contract or when we signed an agreement with the vendor, it was agreed that they would achieve a certain standard, quality, and outcome. So is that what's happening when the contract or the delivery has been implemented and initiated? So the service does what it was required to do. That is, the service is being delivered well. And when it means delivered well, it means that they are meeting the standards and the quality parameters that was agreed to the agreed standards and price. Price is again important. The quotation which was agreed while the agreement was signed, there shouldn't be any increase in the contractual rates. So the client organization had agreed to pay a certain amount of fees to the vendor. However, because of delays or because of defects, the budget of the contract should not increase. So along with quality, even this needs to be monitored and managed by the vendor management office. And the second was that the costs of the service are no higher than expected. Now you have fixed costs associated with a project. However, there could be some costs which we did not foresee while the contract was signed. And this usually happens because of delays, defects, or resources being unavailable. So these need to be managed as well. This is what would be important when the vendor management office or the performance manager, the project manager in the vendor management office reviews the performance of the service provider.